This week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast is presented by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus an exclusive conversation with someone you know or need to know in Vegas showbiz. So much has happened in just a week. The Life is Beautiful Festival announced its lineup for September in downtown Las Vegas with Billie Eilish and Green Day and so many other artists. The Jabberwockies reopened their show, Timeless, at MGM Grand Garden Arena. Hakkasan Nightclub announced its reopening date of March 26th. That's also at MGM Grand. And then the biggest of big deals came on Friday. It was the second straight Friday that the state unleashed a meaningful update to pandemic restrictions and protocols that had a huge impact on live entertainment. So Monday, the 15th, was the day that restaurants and bars and casinos and other venues were allowed to raise their capacity to 50%. And for events and gatherings, that maximum number was capped at just 250. The state basically did away with that cap. And now sporting events or conventions or concerts or production shows can have audiences larger than 250 people, up to 50% of the venue's actual capacity, as long as their safety plan is approved by officials. The most immediate impact of this adjustment is in sports, where the Golden Knights could conceivably get around 9,000 fans into T-Mobile Arena for games soon. This is super important for conventions too, but those have to be planned in advance, of course. And the same goes for the really big shows on the Strip. I don't think we're going to see massive music residency shows or Cirque du Soleil productions back before the summertime because they have to put these things back together and they have to make money too, and that's hard to do with half the ticket sales. I know this is a lot to take in, but it all boils down to Vegas is opening back up again, slowly, cautiously, but it's happening. And all those things I just rattled off, we're covering them online every day. And if you want to stay on top of all this stuff, just go to lasvegassun.com every day. And you can find me and all the words I write by clicking on entertainment. Something else happened this past week that was a big deal for me. I went to a show, a big show, the biggest show on the Strip right now. And I haven't been to a show since Halloween. I saw Extravaganza at the Jubilee Theater at Bally's on Thursday night. It was my first time seeing it, and I have to say it felt amazing to step back into this classic Vegas showroom and see a show with Showgirls and the Globe of Death motorcycle act. Such a throwback variety show. I had a blast. I wrote all about it for The Sun this week, not only what happens in this year-old show, but also kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what the cast and crew are doing to stay safe and stay on stage. Go check that out if you haven't already, and go check out Extravaganza. If it's been a long time since you've seen a Vegas show, this is a great starting point, and it's family-friendly, too. Just a few more news items this week. On Monday, The Link and Planet Hollywood, both of which are Caesars Entertainment properties on the Strip, reverted back to full daily hotel operations. They had both been closed during the week, and just taking weekend bookings at the hotel and maintaining 24-hour casino operations. Now they're both fully open again, and it makes sense because if you spent time on the Strip in the last few weeks, you know how busy it has become. And here's a little something in the music and nightlife world that I just wrote about today. J Balvin, who's one of the biggest international music stars in the world, is behind the first entertainment event scheduled at Resorts World. That brand new casino is opening this summer, and J Balvin's creating this mini festival experience called Neon that is going to take over the resort for Mexican Independence Day weekend in September. He's bringing a bunch of different artists he loves, and he's going to cap off the party with a huge concert of his own. Go read all about it right now at the Sun site or at lasvegasweekly.com, which is where you need to stay if you want to know all about Vegas nightlife. So about 6 weeks ago on this podcast, I interviewed a Vegas entertainment couple, Di Richards, a singer from the Tenors of Rock show, and his wife Olivia, a dancer in X Country. We talked a little bit about the new band Di put together, Original Chaos, and that band has a show this weekend at The Space. And one of his guys in the band is Colin Cahill, a multi-talented entertainer who can sing and dance and act. And Colin has been in a bunch of shows in a fairly short time in Las Vegas. But if you know him, it might be from Atomic Saloon Show, which is one of the hottest new shows. Really got great reviews right out of the gate. He really makes an impression in this show. And if you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like Diane Olivia, Colin and his wife, Mackenzie, are both in the industry, both fighting their way through this pandemic and excited to be getting back on stage again. So check it out for yourself. My conversation this week with Colin Cahill. We've never spoken before. I don't know too much about you. So
yeah,
we should start at the beginning. Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born a long, long time ago in, it wasn't that long ago. So I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, actually. For anybody who was wondering, when I was like nine, my family moved. So I grew up mainly in Alabama, Huntsville, Madison area. Then I went to university in Alabama for musical theater. And then I just kind of been traveling all over since then. Did some off-Broadway in New York, did a bunch of cruise ships off and on for a while. Then I met my lovely wife, Mackenzie Fly, and I followed her out to Las Vegas, and we've been here ever since.
Did she get the Vegas gig that brought you guys out here?
She did. She actually booked the very last year of Jubilee. In fact, it actually closed because of her. No, it didn't. she got to jump in the very last year to sing with Ann Martinez and Ashley Fuller in the last year of Jubilee. And then we were on a cruise ship at the time. There was a Frankie Valli tribute to group called Oh What a Night that we'd become friends with. And they're based in Las Vegas. So I went quickly talked to them, was like, hey, is there any way you guys are looking for a tall blonde guy to play Frankie Valli? They happened to be looking for a guy. So it worked out. And so I followed her out here and we both just never left. And now we're living happily married in Las Vegas.
So I'm sure you got to go see Jubilee a time or
yes,
two before it.
I did.
What was that experience like? Such a iconic show at this point.
I kind of always expected the shows. I never really seen many shows in Las Vegas before I moved here. So I guess I expected, I'd only ever seen like the classic, like Lido and Follies and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I expected when it came to Las Vegas entertainment, that and Chippendales basically. So I expected like all the shows to be like that. So once it closed, I was very surprised to see that, it was like one of the last of its kind, really. I mean, you have a couple more that emulated a little bit, but for the most part, it was such a huge production. The gigantic moving set pieces in the background and the gigantic headpieces. It was such a, all the steps. Kinsey would come home just exhausted every night, just from walking steps all night. it was such an iconic show, and it really was just awe inspiring when you come to Las Vegas and have that be like one of the first shows that you see. So it was sad to see it go, but you know, it's also an end of an era. You know, that's kind of what happens. You finish one thing up and you burn up in the flames and then you turn into something else. So
yeah, I think Atomic Saloon Show. Did you do something before that or?
I was in Tournament of Kings for a little bit.
Okay.
I did a show called Sex Tips for a Straight Woman from a Gay Man. And then I would like swing in with like Tenors of Rock, Bronx Wanderers.
You did a bunch of stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, it was never really like, I was full-time at Sex Tips and I was full-time at Tournament, but you know, the other things were mainly swing stuff. So it wasn't really like things I could put on my resume or be like, I'm in this show, you know? So, I mean, I jumped from thing to thing, but this is definitely my first like major role. I got to originate and kind of, just be able to create it alongside all the other amazing creatives that were in the show. And so it's been an amazing journey for me with that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you how much of an influence you had in this character Blue Jackson, because you know Atomic Saloon Show is a Spiegel World show, of course, that had already established Absinthe and Opium, and then this was the most recent Spiegel World show to open. And to me, the characters in this show are very well established, well drawn, and the show is written kind of in a different way. There's maybe a little bit more story to it than some of these other shows. So yeah. What was that like for you? Did you get to have a hand in the creative aspect?
Yeah, it was, I felt as though that the creation was very, the process was very collaborative. Cal, our director, he came in with a pretty good kind of structure of the characters he has in mind. He based them a lot on like old Western archetypes, you know, that you see reoccurring in the old Westerns and stuff like that. So he kind of had these characters and then would make it kind of made it Spiegel, like a little bit more Spiegel World-esque, you know, rounded it out, made it a little edgier, a little dirtier. And then he came to each one of us and kind of was like, this is who I have in mind basically for this character. And then he kind of gave us a lot of freedom to work within that. And then we would continue to work with him and then our co-writer Toby, with more or less the actual lines, specifically the actual story, the tit for tats, all the stuff like that. But it was a very collaborative process. And I think it led to very, very natural building of the scenes. And that's why, I think that's why the characters just kind of feel so natural in their spaces as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely edgy. You know, it's pretty naughty. There's some naughtiness.
Just a little bit.
That's the right word. Are there elements of this show and this role that were new for you? I mean, there's parts where you're not wearing a lot of clothes. Is that something that was new? Or?
That's not super new for me. I also was in a show at the Hard Rock Cafe called The Men of the Strip with Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees. And that was kind of a male review type of show as well. So no, I'm not really new to that.
So you're like, I'm actually wearing a lot of clothes in this show.
Yeah. You'd actually be surprised at how much more clothes I'm wearing in this show than I am in others. I'm always a little tentative still about going into that, but especially with this show, I felt more confident doing it because I get to make it a part of a bit. It wasn't just like with Men of the Strip and kind of with Sex Tips. It was more about the actual sexiness of it. Whereas it felt like to me, at least, that this isn't, it's sure it's a little sexy, but it's also just, you know, plain crazy and kind of stupid in its own way, you know, that I'm even wearing what I'm wearing. So it feels a little bit more freeing to do it in this capacity. So I kind of enjoy it.
I've said it before, and I'm not the only one to say it. This show and probably the other two Spiegel World shows too, they're both very sexy and really funny. And Atomic is like really funny. Isn't it? It seems like it's difficult to pull those two things off in the same show.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one thing that Spiegel World has definitely kept their focus on, with Opium and with Absinthe as well, is they found this niche and they go, let's just keep exploring this as much as we can and just keep taking it up, you know, the next level. And so I don't know, it's such a fun a company to be a part of and such a fun process to do with the creatives that they are able to find. I don't know how they keep doing it.
Well, we know there's a lot of shows reopening this month in Las Vegas, and Spiegel World officials have said they are planning to open your show and their other show as well, and hopefully those things are going to come around real quickly. What has this last year been like for you? What'd you do to keep yourself busy, keep yourself sane?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say that I kept myself sane, but yeah, I mean, it was definitely a roller coaster, both emotionally and physically, because you know, you go from being busy all the time to being trapped in your apartment. It was a bit of a tough year. We found out, basically, I think like the right before we did our last show that was going to be our last show until whenever this was going to end. And I just remember going home and just like sitting on the couch and being like, well, what do I do now? Like, this is all I've ever done. And now there is nothing. There's no shows. There's no auditions to go to. It's not like in the past where I've ended a show and there's something else to move on to. There isn't anything else to move on to. So there was definitely a good portion there where there was like just lost. I was just completely lost. But then, I don't know, Kenzie and I just started one day at a time kind of focusing on one thing. And so there was a time for a bit that we created this little comedy song duo. We wrote songs about basically what was happening with us, and we called it Mac and the Cheese. She was Mac, short for Mackenzie. I was the cheese because I'm unoriginal. And so we wrote some songs. Basically, it was just like catharsis. It was just like therapy for us to write silly songs about what was going on around us. So we wrote some songs called Could You Spare Me a Roll, about the TP crisis in America. We did one about the quarantine 15, about our crisis of gaining all this weight in quarantine. What else? We wrote another song called Don't Cough on Betty White, because I think that was probably the most important PSA of the year. And then some few more. But then it was just, even that still like became monotonous just because we're still trapped in our apartment. But we kept finding new ways. Eventually we started working on Kenzie's online yoga studio. So we built that up. She started being able to teach still online with our tiny little setup here. We just kept trying to find ways to keep us busy. We try to go on hikes, get outside best we can, go on walks. And, we had a little pod of friends that we would try to see and just be safe around. But I have to say, it's extremely relieving to finally see the light at the end of the tunnel and to hopefully be out of this little hole for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. You also kind of recently got together with this new band, I guess, kind of side project. I've been calling it like a Vegas super group because everybody in the group is awesome. Original Chaos, you guys have a show this week at the Space. How did this thing come together?
Well, I have to say it's Di Richards just worked his butt off, basically, is how this thing got together. So Di's from the Tenors of Rock, along with Chris Cicchino and Tim Sorbs. Basically, was just tired of sitting around. There were some venues that were kind of opening back up. We, as in the big shows, there was no way that we were going to get back opening anytime soon. So we were like, we have to start making money again. We need to put something together. All right, we did our favorite thing, which is just sing classic rock, because I jumped in with them a few times to cover. So he basically just got the four of us together to start, and we booked Carnival Court and just started playing there on the weekends a couple times. We've been doing that every weekend now. 2 to 7 at Carnival Court on Friday, Saturday, Sunday for now. We'll see. We got that. And then he was like, I got an idea for a show. Let's just start doing albums, because that's what people want to hear. People just want to hear, and they want to hear specific things. So that's what he said. He didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. Anyways, we go Appetite for Destruction, I think, would be the best one to start with. So that's what we did. Guns N' Roses all the way. And, Di just pretty much made this thing happen for us. Tim was able to put together all the tracks, the click tracks and everything. So we're nice and tight. Chris is going to shred on the guitar, and I just try to stand there and look good best I can.
Is this, how big of a classic rock guy are you? Is this,
Guns
N' Roses album like a childhood dream or anything like that?
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I grew up, my dad, he was always playing the classic rock where I was growing up. So he'd always test me, honestly. He'd be like, anytime a song would come on, he'd go, do you know this band? And then I'd guess something wrong. And then he'd tell me who it is. So by the end of this testing period, my entire life, I had a very good catalog of classic rock in my brain. And then I started jumping in with like these groups, and I've always just loved classic rock. So it just made sense. So, it's really is overwhelming to try to learn all this music that you've listened to for so long and didn't realize the complexity of, to some extent, you know? So it's fun to, I don't know, finally like hear it coming out of you versus just the radio or the speakers or the headphones that you're used to.
This has got some legs. I could see you guys playing lots of different albums when you have the chance to get together. You know, who knows when shows will be open again, but it seems like something that could last.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I feel like it's really cool. Really cool setup. And Di seems to have the passion behind it to keep it going. So it's going to keep rocking.
Are you ready for my Las Vegas live entertainment picks for the weekend? I'm curating 3 choices every week on the Sun on the Strip. And my first this week has to be Colin and the Boys in Original Chaos. They're playing Guns N' Roses' debut album, Appetite for Destruction, on Saturday at the Space. If it sells out, which it might,
You can live stream it for just $10 at thespacelv.com. Pick number two is a different kind of classic music tribute. The Australian Bee Gees show just reopened at Excalibur in the Thunderland showroom. This show's been going strong on the Strip for 10 years now. And if you love the music of the Bee Gees, and everyone does, you're going to love this show. It's 5 nights a week right now. They take Tuesdays and Saturdays off. And you can get tickets at Excalibur.com. And one more show to catch this weekend. It's got to be Absinthe. It reopens at Caesar's Palace on St. Patrick's Day. It's the first time this year this whole crazy cast is back in the big Spiegel tent right on Las Vegas Boulevard. The show runs twice nightly, Wednesday through Sunday. Go to SpiegelWorld.com for more information. That's it for this week's pod. Thank you for listening, and special thanks to Colin Cahill for chatting with me this week. Catch Colin with Original Chaos on the weekends at Carnival Court at Harrah's, and get ready to see him in Atomic Saloon show at Venetian very soon. For past episodes of The Sun on the Strip, visit lasvegassun.com/podcasts, and you can listen and subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. See you next week. Take care.